My name is Julia Saft. I am 14 years old. Today is May 19th, and I'm speaking with Anna Saffron, who is my Grammy. We are recording this interview in Tampa, Florida. Now, can you tell me where you grew up and what your childhood was like?
I grew up in Philadelphia. I had a wonderful childhood. I lived in an apartment first. It was over a grocery store because we were immigrants and had just come from Europe. And then when I was 8 years old, we moved to a house, a very nice house. It was a row house, which was very popular in Philadelphia at the time, and still is, actually. And my dad worked as a tailor, and my mom also worked as a seamstress. And I went to elementary school, and I was in the third grade when we moved there. I remember that school very well. I had some wonderful friends. I would walk to school. My sister was in fifth grade at the time, and we both walked to school together. And then I walked with some of my friends, and we came home for lunch. That's what people did at that time. And my parents were very loving, wonderful people. They appreciated a lot of what America had given them. And we weren't wealthy. We lived comfortably, though. My parents always had lots of food in the house. That was very important. My friends loved to come visit. They always felt very comfortable. My parents were very welcoming. And like I said, there were always snacks and drinks for everyone. And you always just felt good being there. My parents really thought education was very important. I was a good student. I was in the accelerated class. I think they started those in fifth grade, probably. And I stayed in the accelerated classes all through into high school. Okay.
Can you tell me about your grandparents and your great-grandparents?
I never knew my grandparents, and certainly not my great-grandparents. My grandparents perished during the World War II, during the Holocaust. I don't even know exactly how they died or where they died. I know that I was named after my maternal grandmother, who my mother always told me was a wonderful person. My mother was a wonderful person, so if she took after her mother, she must have been wonderful. My father's father died at a younger age, and his mother ran a grocery store when he was growing up. But like I said, I never met her. I never knew her. My grandfather, before the war, was a shoemaker in his small town. They lived in small towns in Poland, and they were, I guess, comfortable, not wealthy people, certainly not educated, but they were gentle people. My grandfather, besides being a shoemaker, was also a scholar. He studied Judaic, the Bible and Judaic studies every evening, from what my mother told me. This is what Jewish scholars did in those times. The men would meet in the evening and discuss the Torah. They would discuss different aspects and different parts. And, you know, I think my grandmother was a homemaker. My mother and father had many siblings. They each had 11 brothers and sisters. And so they grew up in a very lively household, I would think, with lots of brothers and sisters.
Can you tell me where you came from and what the experience of coming to the U.S. was like for you?
Well, I was born in Berlin, Germany, in a displaced persons camp. My parents had fled to Russia during the war and luckily were spared their lives. My sister was born in Russia during the war in 1944. I was born in 1947 in Germany because my parents were then left Russia and were sent to a displaced persons camp in Germany. I really don't remember very much about my early years. I know that I had a wicker carriage as a baby, a beautiful white wicker carriage. I have pictures of that. My sister tells me that I had a nice, you know, infant life because my parents were, at least they were settled and they were not going to, they weren't as scared as they had been, of course, when she was born, and they felt that they were safe where they were. They tried to get to America, and luckily, when I was 4 years old, they were received through their immigration papers, and we came to America. We came to America on a ship called the David Muir. General Muir, it was called the General Muir. And we were in, it was a cargo ship originally that had been changed to be a immigration and a refugee ship. We landed in Ellis Island, and there are even, there's documentation of our names in the Ellis Island. Well, there's documentation in the documents there. And we came to Philadelphia. And we lived in, like I said earlier, in a very small apartment that was over an actually empty grocery store. It wasn't even being used as that at the time. Our landlord had a grocery store next door to us. And they lived on top of that store. We had a very small apartment. My sister and I shared a sofa bed that was in the living room. My parents had a bedroom. We had a small little bathroom and a very small little kitchen. I don't even know if we always have had water. For some reason, I remember my parents saying, go next door and tell them to turn on the hot water because we want to take baths. I lived there until I was 8 years old. And then we moved to a much, much nicer house, a much nicer area of Philadelphia. Most of my friends when I first came to America were also children of immigrants. There were lots of Jewish immigrants in the area where my parents lived. The area was called Strawberry Mansion. And I didn't feel different at that time because, like I said, all my friends were children of immigrants. I know I spoke Yiddish. My parents spoke Yiddish. And I know I spoke that language for many years. But I also learned English, and I knew English by the time I started kindergarten. I went to kindergarten at a school called Stokely Elementary in Strawberry Mansion until third grade.
Were there difficult moments when you came to the U.S.?
Not that I remember when I first came. My parents, like I had said, were so loving. They made me feel like this was wonderful and a good thing for our family. We were very blessed. My father got a job. My mother stayed home with us then. We had nice neighbors and nice people that helped us. the Hebrew Immigration Society, it was called HIAS, Hebrew Immigration Society, helped us get to America. And my parents had friends. I called them Tanta Mina, which means aunt, and Uncle Jaime. They were not really my aunt and uncle, but I had lost all my aunts and uncles in the war. So my parents' friends became our relatives. They were our family, and they helped us a great deal. I remember we got a little black and white television, and I think I learned a lot of English by watching television. So I didn't feel any different. I didn't feel that there was anything unusual about my life at the time. I don't remember feeling anything unusual.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Okay, this is hard, but I do remember an incident that happened when I was probably in about fifth grade. We had already moved to a very nice area, and I had some very nice friends. But we certainly weren't wealthy, and I wouldn't even say we were middle class, maybe very low middle class. I was walking home from school with two friends, and they were talking about the records that were popular at the time. They were 45s at the time, small records. And they were talking about, oh, which record do you have? Which record do you like the best? Well, I felt very uncomfortable because we didn't have a record machine at my house. We didn't have a record player. That wasn't something that was a necessity. And we certainly didn't have one. And so I just kind of stayed mute and didn't say anything and almost thought, well, I'll make something up. Because I felt different. That was probably the first time. I wasn't ashamed of my parents ever. They spoke with an accent. But I did feel like, wow, everybody's got a record player. Everybody loves all these records. We were, you know, like 10 years old, and that was a big deal. But I think a few years later, we did get a record player, maybe sooner than that. And I was so excited, and so were my parents. But I remember that moment being embarrassed, and that was one of the few times I really felt embarrassed about my life.
What was the hardest thing to adjust to in this country?
I don't know. For me, it wasn't so bad. It really wasn't, because I was young. And like I said, many of my friends at that time were also immigrants' children. So we all, you know, spoke the same language and played on the sidewalk and in the streets. And I didn't really feel different then. I know my sister did. She was 7 years old when she came. She had to start like first grade and didn't know any English at all. And once she learned English, she also did a lot of translating for my parents because they didn't understand as well. And most of my parents' friends had children my age, not her age, since she was born in the middle of the war. So it was very difficult for her. And I was lucky. I didn't feel any embarrassment, not much. And I didn't feel different. It wasn't that hard for me to adjust at all. And I honestly don't remember it being a problem.
How did you meet your husband?
I met my husband, Bill, on a blind date. The funny thing is, he called me. I was a senior in high school. He was out of school. He had met a friend that he hadn't seen for a little while. They used to be neighbors, and my husband had moved. And I guess they started talking, and he said he was dating this girl, Sharon. And he said, would you like to meet some of Sharon's friends? Can I give you a phone number? I think that's what he said to Bill. And Bill said, sure. And it was my phone number that he gave. And Bill called me on a Sunday night. I remember I went, got the phone. The phone was hanging in the kitchen. We had, you know, just, I think we had one phone, maybe two. Maybe we had one upstairs in my parents' room. But this one's hanging in the kitchen. I had been watching a movie called Judgment at Nuremberg. It was a really great movie, and I wanted to see it. It was on TV. And that was before you could put, you know, stop on the or pause on any kind of TV. He called me and he said, I got your number from Kenny, who was dating Sharon. And I would, you know, we started to talk. And I said, you know, I really can't talk now. Can you call me back tomorrow? Because I'm watching a great movie. So he said, oh, okay. But I'll just tell you one more thing. Do you know a lady named Eileen Shapiro? She teaches at your school. And I'm like, oh my God, yes. And he said, well, I'm her brother. I said, you're Mrs. Shapiro's brother? Mrs. Shapiro was a Spanish teacher. Everybody loved her. She was like such a popular teacher, very young and cute and lively. And also she was a class sponsor for the senior class. Now, I wasn't in her Spanish class. She was a Spanish teacher. I wasn't in her class, but everybody knew her. Well, once he told me that, I'm like, forget watching the movie. I'm going to talk to you. So we must have talked, a good 20, 30 minutes. And he asked me out for the following Saturday night. And he came to my house and he brought a friend. And I had gotten a friend, my friend Debbie, and we decided to go out on a double date. And we went to the Castor movies, and I forget, Bill knows, I should have asked him what movie we saw. I honestly forget. But we liked each other. I could tell I liked him. And he, as he was saying goodnight to me, he said, what are you doing next Saturday night? So he asked me out for the following week, and we did go out, and, you know, we really liked each other, and I actually asked him to my senior prom. I had another date, and I broke it, which my friends never let me forget. But I knew I really liked Bill, and I knew I didn't really like this other guy. And it's a very expensive evening to go to a senior prom, buying renting a tux and getting a corsage and all that entails. So I asked Bill, and he came with me, and the rest is history. We dated and we're married almost 50 years. So good life with our great family. About the proposal. Okay, my proposal. Julia wanted to know about my proposal. Bill had given me a pearl ring for graduation. And it was kind of just a, you know, just a friend's gift. And we were dating all that summer. And we dated for a couple more years. And one night, it was a Saturday evening, I believe. We were going to go out, and this was 1967. And it was June 1967. And we were in my parents' home, and we were ready to go out. And he said, let me see the pearl ring a minute. I just want to look at it. I've been wearing it for a couple years. So I said, oh, okay, why do you want to look at it? But okay. So he takes it off, and I said, well, what's going on? Give it back. And then he puts the diamond ring on my finger, and he said, will you marry me? So that's how I got my engagement ring. And of course, I said yes. And my parents knew about it. He had asked my father for permission, like you do, if you're a great guy. And we got married the following August. We planned our wedding, and I was still in college. I had one more year left to finish getting my degree in education, and Bill was working, and we got married August 1968.
Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in your life?
Wow, that's a hard one, Julia. Well, I've learned how important family is, of course. I feel very blessed. I have two wonderful, beautiful daughters who have given me lots and lots of things to be proud of. And they've also married wonderful men. And I have two wonderful granddaughters and two wonderful grandsons. I've learned it's important to be with family and to call them and to share the best moments. And I've been very blessed that I can do that. I've learned, well, education's so important to me. I really, really liked being a teacher. I was an elementary school teacher. I've learned that I, you know, just want to be the best I can be and give and volunteer and give what I could give back to everything that I've been blessed to have in my life.